Welcome to the Miracle Camp podcast, and thanks for checking out this recording from summer camp. Please enjoy listening to our speaker from this week.
Hey, everybody. I'm sorry. Kyle drowned it in the lake today, and so I'm his less smart brother, Cade. Do I look like Kyle? I don't have my glasses on because I went swimming. I went out on the paddleboard. I went swimming, so I have contacts in. I know I look weird. Don't worry. Thank you. That actually ties into what we're talking about tonight. Okay, guys, open your Bibles. We are in James chapter 3. We are just chugging right through this book. And I don't want to point out the obvious to make everyone sad yet, but it's Thursday night. I know. I'm just saying, let's be prepared, okay? Let's not let it take us by surprise. Let's get all the juice out of every moment. That's what I'm trying to say. Exactly. Okay. What does Brother Jimmy have for us tonight? Tonight's session, I love this title. It's titled, There's a Wild Animal in Your Mouth. I know. Okay. So let's do our recap here real quick. Remember in the last session we talked about how... Recap coming. That salvation is, salvation is by grace through faith, all right? Grace means it's a gift. Our salvation is a gift from God. We didn't do anything to earn it. But believing does require some action. God doesn't want us to just have knowledge about him in our heads. He gave us bodies too, and so he wants us to be active in the world and to obey him. So faith includes both the things we believe and what we do, all right? And now we move on to something that I think is incredibly practical and usable and helpful for us as followers of Jesus. James is going to tell us in chapter 3, verses 3 through 12, to watch our mouths, okay? Watch our mouths. Okay. Moment of truth. How many of you have ever had your mouth washed out with soap? Okay. Yep. This is for us. This is for us. Okay. Now in my Bible, let's get ready to read this. In my Bible, the header for chapter 3, the heading is Taming the Tongue, okay? And another way to say that is to watch our mouths. So let's start at verse 3 and we'll read through verse 12, okay? James chapter 3, starting at verse 3. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Okay, so James, as a good teacher, gives us a few word pictures to help us understand the importance of our words, okay? That list is bits, rudders, sparks. So how many of you have horses or sometimes take care of horses on maybe a horse farm, or you've ever been horseback riding? Okay, what's a bit in a horse's mouth? What is that thing? Right here.
It's a metal thing that goes in the face and
then
leads to a bridle.
Oh, man, you are a horse person. Okay, what she just said is it's a metal thing that goes in a horse's mouth and it leads to a bridle, which is the leather stuff that goes over the horse, and then that's attached to the reins, right? So if you're riding the horse, you have the reins in your hand, but they're attached to that bit, and it's just a small rod, a metal rod. How many of you know how heavy a horse is? What do you think? Depends on the horse, but like 2,000 pounds? 1,000? I mean, they'd probably be big, okay? But they are huge animals. I admit that when I'm around a horse, I get a little bit nervous. It's just such a big animal. But that bit in its mouth will turn the whole animal. Okay, I got to tell you a quick horse riding story. My aunt and uncle had horses, and they invited me over one time to ride horses. And the horse that they gave me, my aunt said, "Don't worry, he can be a little skittish, but I think he's been pretty good lately." I was like, okay. And so we get on the horse, and we kind of go around the pasture, and then she's like, "How about we go out on the road and go to this other field?" So I'm like, yeah, sounds great. And so she goes in the lead because she wanted her horse to kind of guide my horse. And as we're going, she's like, okay, we'll go up into a little bit of a canter. And so that was like a little bit faster than a walk, and we're kind of like going, and I'm trying to get the rhythm and stuff like that. And then all of a sudden, that horse takes off, like just goes crazy. And I'm just holding on for dear life. And she's like, "Turn him, turn him." And I'm like, "I don't know what that means on a horse, okay? There's no steering wheel." And she's like, "Pull the reins hard on the left." And so finally, in the middle of the field, I do this, and this thing is like bucking me, trying to get me off, where its hooves are up, and I'm thinking I'm going to die. But I finally just pull the reins really hard to the left, and I pulled the bit in its mouth, and it turned its head, and it went like this in a circle. And then it finally like slowed down, and my aunt came and got the horse and saved my life. But it was terrifying, but it was crazy how that little tiny metal thing in its mouth could control it, okay? Now, he says rudders. Rudders on a ship are that flap thing in the back that can turn. Sometimes there's two, but, you know, sometimes there's one. And you can have a whole giant cruise ship. Anyone ever been on a cruise ship? It's like a floating city. You can do a couple laps around that ship and you've run a mile, okay? So they are gigantic. I can't believe how big some of these boats are. But when you compare the size of the rudder to the size of the boat, it's really small. It's amazing that that little thing can turn a whole big ship like that. Or even on small sailboats, you know, the rudders aren't very big that you use to steer a little boat. And then sparks. Ooh, who's ever played with fire? Okay. All right. Now, just to make sure we get this on the record, do not play with fire, especially at camp. But if you are at home and your parents are watching you, okay, you know You know that you have to be careful with fire, right? Because even something like a little spark, or maybe a sparkler, or a little firecracker, or a match that's thrown off into some tinder can start a whole forest fire. And over the past couple years, if you guys ever, you know, if you watch the news, you've seen that places like California sometimes have these crazy wildfires. And sometimes they're just started from someone who went like camping in the woods and they made a fire. And then they thought that they put the fire out, but a little bit of it was still burning. And then some wind came and just blew a tiny little ember, a little coal or a little flash or a spark into something else. And it can light a whole forest on fire and turn into a raging fire that takes months to put out. Sometimes, like, people's houses burn down, and all it took was maybe a cord that was a little bit broken or exposed, and it shorts out, and it just throws a little spark. So James is telling us in these three examples that sometimes a small thing can have great power or great consequences. And he says that's exactly what words are. Words are small things, easy to say, don't take much time, but they can impact the people around you in our world in a huge way. Small things have big power. Now, to prove this, let's do a little bit of word math, okay? Some of you are good at math. Maybe you've never done something like this. But I want you to think about this phrase. You are ugly. Okay, now, I know. Some of your feelings are already hurt, and I didn't even say it to you. Here we go. Here's the math part. How many letters are in "you are ugly"? And if you, and, okay, keep it, write it down on your paper. Don't shout it out. How many letters, and how long do you think it takes you to say that sentence, "you are ugly"? Here's my guess. It has 10 letters, and I think it takes about a second and a half to say. Now, would you say that's a small thing? It doesn't take hardly any energy. It probably takes less than one calorie to move your mouth to say that thing. But now think about this. If someone actually said that to you and they were being serious, there's another part of this equation. Think of the length of impact. How long could that hurt someone's feelings? Years, months. You know what? I really appreciate the feedback, but we also want to get through this. So I want you to, if you have a thought, I want you to think it in your head, okay? I want you to think it in your head. So someone can hear that phrase, maybe at your age, maybe in second grade, third grade. Someone might not even mean it, but they say it to you in passing. And that thing can last with you until you are an adult. It can change how you think about yourself. It can change your confidence. It can change whether you feel like you can go up and talk to somebody. 1.5 seconds, 10 letters can change someone's thinking for years. Can you believe that? Now, how about this one? Let's do another one. You're really fun. Okay, yeah, that's a good one. All right. You're really fun. Okay, how many letters and how long does it take you to say it? Don't shout it. In your head, on your paper. Okay, let's see how many letters. There's a contraction, so it's a little bit of a tricky one, but next slide. 14 letters. I think it takes a little bit longer than the last one, but probably less than 2 seconds to say. So also small, also short, also easy to say. But let's think about the impact of this one. Impact on your confidence? Significant. Significant. I was kind of a funny kid, and I can remember making my brothers and sisters laugh so hard that they spit milk out of their nose at the dinner table. I got in trouble for that. I can remember taking a vacation with my aunt and uncle, and just randomly I started telling them about this a story of a teacher that I was kind of getting in trouble with, but I started to, like, you know, pretend like I was the teacher and we were going on a trip up north. And they laughed so hard, and it became a joke that we kept going back to, like, this whole trip. And my aunt and uncle still to this day will come up to me and be like, "Oh, you remember Mrs. Renberg?" And it was like, "You are so funny." And just being able to make my aunt and uncle laugh, you know, okay, my parents maybe and my siblings, sure, but like my aunt and uncle just like rolling. My uncle was actually getting mad in the car because he couldn't see through the tears. He was laughing so hard. It was hilarious. It was so fun. And not that I grew up to be a stand-up comedian, but that really like made me feel good that they thought I was funny. And so that had a lasting impact on me, and it gave me a lot of confidence to be able to speak in front of other people, that my aunt and uncle would tell me something positive like that. So that's some word math. I can't tell you a joke right now. All right. Now, the other thing, so do we understand that a word is a very small thing, or a sentence is a small thing, but it can have a big impact? All right. So then James tells us that we need to try and tame our tongue, but it's really, really hard to do. In fact, he kind of says it's impossible. We're supposed to tame the wild animal that is in our mouth. Okay, everyone stick out your tongue and hold your tongue. All right. Doesn't feel like much, but it's a wild animal. It can do a lot of damage. All right? Now, here are the things. Here are the wild animals that live in our mouths. Okay? These are kind of big groups, but I think these are sort of the worst things that come out of our mouths. Okay? Lies. Gossip. Mean words. Okay, let's talk about them. A lie. A lie is when you say something that is not true or dishonest. We'll get there. So, lies can be big or small. If you've ever been caught doing something wrong and your parent or your cabin leader or a teacher said, "Billy, did you do this?" And you were afraid that you were going to get in trouble, and you said, "No, I didn't do it." That's a lie, right? If a friend comes up to you and says, "Hey, do you like my new outfit?" And you don't really, and you're like, "Oh, that's amazing. It's my favorite. You look so good in that." You just kind of lied, right? So sometimes you can lie for what you think is a good reason, or you can lie for a bad reason, but it's being dishonest. Now, a gossip, someone who uses their word to gossip, is someone who talks about other people behind their backs or when they're not present. When you gossip, oftentimes you find out something about someone, and rather than having a conversation with them about it, you go and talk to your friends about it. "Can you believe what she said at dinner? Oh my goodness, what was she thinking, right? Did you see him out in center circle? Man, he just like wouldn't go down. What's his problem? Doesn't he know how to like lose. Okay? Gossip is when you're talking about someone behind their back without them knowing it. And usually, you know it's gossip if you would be embarrassed if they heard you say it. Okay? That's gossip. And then mean words. I think mean words cover a really broad, you know, whole lot of things. It could be, you know, bad words that we know that we're not supposed to say. But it can also be things like that first sentence, like you're ugly or I don't like you. There are things that we know can hurt other people's feelings. Those are mean words. So these are the things that James is kind of saying, like, your mouth can say these things and your mouth can hurt other people. And so you've got to tame it. Now, this is what I think we need to do to these, okay? Instead of telling lies, let's tell the truth. Sometimes it's really hard to tell the truth, like when your friend asks you for honest feedback and you know it might be hard and you don't want to hurt their feelings with the truth. You can say the truth kindly, but you should still tell the truth. If you get in trouble for something, to be a person of integrity or to be a mature person is to say, yes, I did it, and to take ownership. That's another way to tell the truth. God speaks the truth. God tells us the truth. And if we're going to be like God, then we ought to tell the truth like he tells the truth. The Bible is the truth. Jesus is the truth. And so if we can use our words to talk about him and tell other people about him, we're using our words for truth. Instead of gossip, we can have conversations. If you would be embarrassed, like I said, if you would be embarrassed that a friend heard you talk about them without them there, then that's probably not a good thing. But if you have a problem with your friend or you think that there's, you know, something that you need to address, then you can go and talk to them face to face. That's being kind. Remember when we talked in an earlier session about a way to get to know someone is through you ask them a question, right? So that's another way to have conversation and to use our words good. If you're wondering about something or you just want to get to know someone or you want to show that you're interested in them, you can ask them a question, and that's a part of having a conversation. Now, mean words, instead of mean words, how about we give compliments? How about we tell people what we like about them or what they did well? A little compliment can go a really long way. How many of you like to get compliments? How many of you have had a teacher or a coach tell you that you did something good? Didn't that feel good? Didn't that make you want to do even better? Yeah, for sure. How many of you have had a friend, so not an adult, but a friend give you a compliment? Man, sometimes we expect parents and adults to be nice with their words, and we're like, yeah, of course they had to say that because they're an adult. But man, when your friend tells you something that they like about you, oh, that feels so good. So instead of mean words, let's give compliments. Now here's the last thing that James says, okay? And I've translated this into my own words, but I think it makes sense, okay? He says basically, is it up there? Okay, let's read it together. Don't use your toothbrush to clean your toilet. Okay? Now, what James said is, can you get fresh water from a salty spring? No. Can you get apples from an orange tree? No. But he says that with our mouths, we'll sing a worship song, but then we'll go outside and play and say a bad word. We'll read the Bible or we'll give someone a compliment, but then we'll say something to our mom and dad that is disrespectful. And James is saying, this shouldn't happen. That you use the same mouth to praise God, but then harm other people who are made in God's image. I love what he says. He says, this should not be, brothers and sisters. Now, I think another way to think about it is imagine if you used your toothbrush to both brush your teeth and clean your toilet. Gross! That would be so nasty. Well, they're both brushes. They probably both do the same job. But you would never mix something that's supposed to be clean with something that's supposed to be really dirty. And so I want you to think about your words, keeping your words clean, and not using them for bad, not using them to hurt other people, but taming your tongue and using your words to bless others. And so this is the last point here. Your words are very powerful. Use them for good. You guys agree? Okay, let me pray for us, and then you guys can go.
Thanks for listening to this chapel session and for diving into Scripture with us. We hope you've been encouraged in your walk with Jesus, and we hope to see you here at camp for next year's summer camp. So, thanks again, and have a great rest of your day.